So good morning, everyone. Again, my name is Michaela Morzik, and I'm very excited to be here this morning with you to discuss an innovative maternal and child health care program called the Combating Autism Act Initiative, which, among other things, provided funds to 9 state grantees to help them improve early diagnosis and evidence-based treatment for infants, children, and youth with autism spectrum disorder and other developmental disabilities at the beginning of the lifespan. So because children with ASD and other DD and their families often have to navigate a complex, fragmented, and frequently overburdened system of services in order to access the screening and the interventions and the assessments that they need, one approach that state grantees used to address the complexity of the system was to strengthen the infrastructure that supported their overall ASD system of care. So before we get started, I just want to say that I, Michaela Morzik, have no relationship to disclose. And I'd like to acknowledge some key individuals, Mathematica staff, Carol Irvin and Meg Hargraves, also our State Combating Autism Act Initiative implementation grantees that we worked with, the Association of Maternal and Child Health Programs, or AMCHIP, they were the TA provider, and of course the Health Resources and Services Administration staff, particularly our project officer, Deidre Washington Jones. So just to give you a brief overview of what I'm going to discuss this morning, we're going to look at the Combating Autism Act Initiative and the state implementation grantees, the relevance of this work to the life course perspective, a brief discussion of our methods, an example of the evolution of one of these state grantee networks to illustrate their infrastructure development across the 3-year grant period and some of their promising strategies. Also, other grantees' promising state strategies, the contributions of this work to the life course and systems change, and some important policy implications going forward. So the Combating Autism Act of 2006 was federal legislation in response to the increasing prevalence and growing need for research and resources addressing ASD. The goal of the CAA was to provide early screening, access to early diagnostic evaluation, and evidence-based interventions for ASD. And with this legislation, Congress appropriated funds to NIH, CDC, CMS, and HRSA. And HRSA used these funds, MCHB particularly, to design the Combating Autism Act Initiative, which supports the development of family-centered, culturally and linguistically appropriate, community-based ASD systems of care. So this next slide shows the different program areas that were housed under the initiative. The state implementation grants was one of these 3 programs, and they were focused on implementing these state autism plans that they had to have in place even before they applied for the grant. The other program areas was the Maternal Child Health Autism Intervention Research Networks, also 2 areas under training, specifically the Developmental Behavioral Pediatrics Program, DBP, that's a mouthful, also the Leadership Education in Neurodevelopmental and Related Disabilities, also known as LEND. And you're going to notice that both the training and the state implementation grant programs were supported by technical assistance providers. And as I mentioned at the beginning, in the case of the state implementation grants, this was AMCHIP. And they really played a key role, but I won't get into the details because of time constraints. So to identify promising strategies and service models, we collected data and analyzed information from 4 sources. So the first was their grant applications. The second was these continuation applications that they had to submit every year, these progress reports, and also network diagrams identifying who their stakeholders were and how their collaborations changed over time. Also 7 DGIS performance measures that they had to report every year, and annual semi-structured interviews with key program stakeholders, particularly the grant program directors and other relevant staff, to provide some context to their progress reports and their network diagrams and their applications. So the state implementation grants originally funded 6 grantees, Alaska, Illinois, Missouri, Utah, Washington, and Wisconsin, in 2008 for a period of 3 years. 2009, 3 more states, Rhode Island, New Mexico, and New York were added, and they received 2 years of funding. And in 2010, 4 more states were added, but these were not part of our evaluation. And as you can notice, these grantees were really quite diverse in terms of their populations, how their services were organized, and their geography. So it was very interesting. So the purpose of these state implementation grants, it was threefold. The first was identifying gaps and coordinating services across fragmented state and local systems. The second was building state system capacity to improve access to comprehensive and coordinated care. And the third was building these model programs for other states to adapt or adopt depending on their needs. So you may be wondering, well, how is this relevant to the LIFE course? Well, state grantees were really focused on early screening to identify children potentially at risk for developmental delays in order to access services and interventions earlier for them to reach their full potential. And to do so, states focused on these primary care frontline providers to recognize these potential developmental delays and raise red flags. And these primary care frontline providers were broadly defined to include pediatricians, early intervention providers, child care and preschool providers, among others. So whether or not states intended to at the outset, they coordinated efforts across service systems to increase access as early as possible across the lifespan. So infrastructure development was unique to the state implementation program specifically. And states were really focused on three general areas: the state, the regional, and the provider level. So for example, building a collaborative statewide network of families, providers, public agencies, and advocacy groups that work together to plan, implement, and sustain the system. Also creating regional and community-based coordinated care networks linking providers across disciplines, so early intervention, primary health care, education, and mental health systems. And finally, creating these integrated family-centered medical homes at the provider level. So based on grantee data, we developed these network diagrams to illustrate the coordination of these multidisciplinary stakeholders to organize and enhance state, regional, community-based ASD systems of care. So for example, the Washington State grantee, which was their Children and Youth with Special Health Care Needs program, they formed a statewide collaborative planning body with their LEND program, the Leadership Education Neurodevelopmental Disabilities, to guide the implementation of their state autism plan. And this Combating Autism Advisory Council was this platform for statewide decision-making, collaboration, and information sharing across stakeholders. And as we begin to describe the state's grantee network, it's intended to illustrate Washington's interaction with a variety of multidisciplinary stakeholders. So Washington had one of the largest networks. They had 44 members, but they had three key members that you can see here, and they coordinated with them and communicated with them at least weekly, and that's what those bold lines indicate. So for example, the Washington Department of Social and Health Services, specifically their early intervention program, also the Washington State Medical Home Leadership Network, and the Washington Chapter of Parent-to-Parent Family Support, which is a national nonprofit organization that provides support and information for families of children with developmental disabilities. And this red font just indicates that they increased their communication with parent-to-parent between 2008 and 2010. So just bringing parents into the fold was really important to the state and other states as well. So this illustrates the network between 2008 and 2009. So, as I said, they communicated at least weekly with their three core partners. Those double straight lines indicate that they communicated at least twice a month. The single line indicates at least once a month. That dashed line indicates quarterly communication, and the dotted line indicates they communicated at least twice a year. So again, the red font indicates who they started increasing their communication with. You can see the educational school districts, AAP in terms of the guidelines, and Marybridge Hospital is one of their diagnostic centers. So what's interesting here is who Washington added to their network over time. Washington was very targeted in coordinating health providers, education providers, mental health providers, and families regarding screening, assessment, and diagnosis. And that red fill indicates the groups that they brought in the third year, so Medicaid in terms of increasing access to services and interventions for ASD and DD populations, for example. And this segues into the next slide and Washington was doing with this grant. So similar to other states, Washington was dealing with parents and providers overwhelming limited diagnosticians with developmental concerns. So for example, this diagram was developed by the CAAC to illustrate the pipeline from primary care frontline providers' awareness of potential developmental delay to the screening, to further screening, to assessment, and then finally to diagnosis. And the CAAC utilized this tiered process for early screening to rule out ASD and reduce the number of children with other developmental delays from being referred to the limited number of ASD diagnosticians in the state, and then allow for more timely ASD referrals, while at the same time getting those kids with potential developmental delays into the proper screening and interventions that they need. So some key takeaways here is that Washington developed this very rich network of planning and buy-in at the state level that met across the state throughout the year. And what's interesting is that they harnessed this network to organize smaller work groups to facilitate community mapping to identify these primary care frontline providers that could be used to recognize potential developmental delays and utilize this tiers to diagnosis framework pipeline. So an example of these community-based activities was this community asset mapping tool, also known as CAM. And this was designed to improve communication and referral processes among community providers, families, organizations, and the state's five autism diagnostic centers to promote universal screening and well-child visits and in other frontline community settings. So these communities use this mapping tool to identify gaps in services, available resources, training needs, and providers who could be trained to do these developmental screens or who are already doing these developmental screens. So just to give you a little overview, a team of CAAC members from LEN, the State Department of Health, pediatric home representatives, and parents would select these pilot communities. Oops, sorry. And they would identify these champions who are typically from pediatric medical homes to recruit stakeholders to participate in the mapping process. So these key community members, these champions, if you will, recruited various stakeholders, including special education directors, school and community psychologists, parent-to-parent coordinators, pediatricians, speech and language therapists, and also children with special health care need coordinators. There were some really interesting outcomes based on this work. At the end of the grant, CAM was operational in 8 communities. So for example, the CAM community in Walla Walla, Washington used this tool with their school district, and what they did was create an assessment team of health and education providers to utilize this pipeline to screen and diagnose the 3 to 21-year-old population. In another county, the special education director coordinated with one of the state autism diagnostic centers to develop this information sharing tool that could be shared between the schools and the healthcare providers in order to streamline the information sharing about that child that was served between the two institutions. And Washington reported that anecdotally, CAM has really changed relationships between these traditionally siloed agencies. So for example, improving coordination and communication, interactions among school psychologists, special education directors, other education providers such as teachers, and also healthcare providers to make sure that everyone's on the same page. So although I just went into a high level of detail with Washington, I do want to say that the other state grants were engaged in equally important activities. Wisconsin and Illinois expanded their regional networks to screen children earlier, reduce wait times before being seen by a qualified diagnostic team, and coordinate treatment upon receipt of an ASD diagnosis among families, education, and medical providers. So what Wisconsin did was create these regional core teams that were housed in their pre-existing state's 5 centers for children and youth with special health care needs that were located all over the state. And they did this to map resources and provide ASD referrals and really address the needs and variation across the state. Ooh, 5 minutes. Okay, I'm almost done. Illinois added new sites to their Austin Provider Networks. This is known as their TAP program, T-A-P, to meet community needs in different parts of the state. And at the community level, Alaska expanded the number of these pre-existing week-long itinerant neurodevelopmental outreach and screening clinics to rural and tribal Alaskan communities. And at the provider level, Utah expanded their pre-existing medical home learning collaborative model to develop more medical homes and dental practices capable of addressing the needs of children with ASD and other DD. So states were really building these capacity of their state primary care system services. And state grantees really focused on engaging these frontline primary care providers again. To increase early identification of infants and children, to improve earlier access to universal and further screening, and improve access to evidence-based early interventions when a diagnosis was in fact confirmed. And these grants are really an opportunity to identify, engage, and work with stakeholders more frequently, and also work with these other state grantees. And as we know, these discussions are really the first step to communication, coordination, and collaboration. So in terms of policy implications going forward, as we know, the U.S. healthcare system is changing rapidly, and there are really unique and historic opportunities for improving access to care for children and youth with ASD and other DD, which are contained within the Affordable Care Act. So overall, these state grantees have worked to establish these medical homes. They've worked with their Medicaid provider or Medicaid agencies to reimburse for certain screenings and interventions, and they built capacity of frontline providers to recognize signs and symptoms. But all of these advancements are going to be significantly impacted by the ACA provisions, such as insurance reform, coverage benefits, and systems improvements. So just an example of an insurance reform includes a prohibition from private insurance companies from denying coverage based on pre-existing conditions, and also ending the lifetime coverage cap or limits on annual coverage for certain services. And this is really relevant to the ASD and other DD population because intensive testing and interventions are very expensive. In terms of coverage and benefits, we have a requirement covering preventive care, which can remove the cost of the potential barrier to diagnosis. And in terms of systems improvements, we have the expansion of home and community-based services for Medicaid enrollees to coordinate care. So the work that these state grantees have engaged in thus far to knit together this fragmented system for children and families will really help them continue to strengthen this work with state agencies such as Medicaid and also programs such as CHIP and other stakeholders. But it's really paramount that they stay involved in the ongoing planning, policy, and procedure development to ensure that children and youth with ASD and other DD have access to the coverage and testing that they need in order to grow to their fullest potential. So that concludes my presentation. Right on time. Remark.